Okay, we are now beginning the first lecture on Chapter 9, Cellular Respiration. I entitled this lecture, How Cells Convert Energy, or How Cells Manage to Keep Staying Alive. Okay, what I'm going to try to do in the next week is to explain to you cellular respiration in as simplest terms as I possibly can. I want to make it simple, but I want to make it complete. And if I succeed by the end of my lectures, you'll really get it. You'll get the overview, you'll understand the big picture, and you'll understand the individual parts and how it all how we put it all together. So the very first slide here is just an overview of cellular respiration. Now, you guys have learned this in previous bio courses. You know that glucose, when combined with oxygen, is converted into carbon dioxide, water, and energy in the form of ATP. But really, what you need to know, the main overarching idea, is that cellular respiration is nothing more than an energy conversion process. Don't lose that idea. It's nothing more than a way of converting energy in the form of glucose into energy in the form of ATP. That's the sole purpose of cellular respiration. End story. That's it. Okay? Everything else is a sideshow. Okay? Now, the process, when it's done at its greatest efficiency, requires oxygen. However, you can convert some glucose to ATP without oxygen, and we'll talk about that during this week. The products of this reaction, if done to completion with oxygen, are carbon dioxide and water vapor. So when we breathe in, our bodies are made of billions of cells, right? Every cell is doing this from the moment you were conceived until the moment you die. Every cell is doing this reaction. And so you need oxygen, and each cell will be giving off carbon dioxide and water. And, of course, in order to get the oxygen, we take a breath of air, and then we take our oxygen, and then that oxygen, through our circulatory system, is taken to all of our cells, and then the cells go through cellular respiration, and then the CO2 and the water are brought back to our lungs, and as we exhale, out comes carbon dioxide and water, okay? So that's what's going on. Now, just a little question. In order to get glucose into your cells, because glucose is the predominant form of energy that courses through our circulatory system, and it's happy to do that. When it comes into the cell, how does it get into the cell? How does glucose get into the cell? There's a little key that sort of opens up the cell. What is that key I've talked about? Okay, anybody know? Okay, it's called insulin. There's a molecule called insulin, and insulin is what allows glucose into the cell. But the problem is, when glucose gets into the cell can't use glucose. So we have to convert that glucose into ATP, hence cellular respiration. So I have an analogy here. Do you have a question? Because our bodies are the number one molecule in our body is water. And so it's used, as sort of the main solvent of us. And so we need it more than just that. We don't make enough as a byproduct of respiration. Now, my analogy here, I have an analogy. Cellular respiration is analogous to money conversion. So here's my analogy. When you travel to France, you arrive in Paris, and your dollars are completely useless because they need to be converted to euros, because that's what they use in France. So you've got to go to a bank, you go and exchange your money. After this conversion, the amount of money that you have is still the same. Well, not exactly the same, because they take a little bit out, right, to do the conversion. And then whatever's left over after they take out their little bit is what you get, and you get it in euros, and it's, you know, essentially pretty much the same amount, but it's now in euros. So what you get is you start with dollars, you end up with euros. So there you go. In living systems, it's really the same thing. Instead of talking about money, we're going to talk about energy. Energy is transferred in cells in the form of, between cells, in the form of chemical form, you know, called glucose. And it's a monosaccharide carbohydrate. So this glucose, like I said, is moving through your circulatory system. But when it gets into your cells can't use glucose. So they have to convert that glucose into another form of energy, which we call ATP. And so that happens inside your cells. And once you've got ATP, now your cells are happy because they have a form of energy that they can use. And also, there is a cost to the transfer. So you don't get as much energy as the glucose has in the remaining ATP. There is some energy loss in the form of heat and so forth. So let's just simplify cellular respiration in the next slide. There's one goal. The number one goal of cellular respiration is making ATP. The beginning energy source is glucose, and the ending energy source is ATP. That's it. Never lose that idea. So let me sort of break it down. I like to think of cellular respiration as a drama. Think of it as a play that has three acts. Act one is glycolysis. So our drama of cellular respiration, the curtain opens in act one, and act one is called glycolysis. Act two is called the Krebs cycle, and act three is called electron transport chain and oxidative phosphorylation. So we can think of it really simply, and so each day we're going to look at a different act. So today we're going to look at act one, tomorrow we will look at act two, the day after we'll look at act three. We're going to break it down one act at a time. Okay? Maybe we could even think of it as a musical. Maybe it's a musical. That would be nice. Okay, so here in this next slide, you get a visual. And in this visual, you can see glycolysis is represented to the left, and you can see it's really simple. The glucose is converted into something called pyruvate. By the way, you'll see the ATE ending. Another name for this is pyruvic acid. It's synonymous. So whenever you see pyruvate, think pyruvic acid. Some books call it pyruvic acid. Some books call it pyruvate. It's the same. And you can see a little bit of ATP is made. And then the pyruvate is shuttled into this structure you see on the screen. That's called the mitochondria. The mitochondria is kind of like, in my analogy, it's like the bank. That's where the real energy conversion goes on, or the real money conversion. And in the mitochondria, we go to act two, which is the Krebs cycle, and we make some ATP in the Krebs cycle. And then we make some other stuff called NADH and FADH2. And then finally, we end up at act three, which is electron transport chain and oxidative phosphorylation. And in that act three is where we make most of our ATP. And so those are our three acts in the overall drama called cellular respiration. I want to just specify, I've just shown you visually, but I want to specify in words where the location of the action occurs, because this is important. In the cytoplasm, the metabolic pathway that we're going to talk about is glycolysis, and the carbon that's processed here is you have one glucose molecule, and a glucose molecule has six carbon atoms, and it's broken down into two pyruvic acids, or two pyruvates, which are each three carbon molecules. Now, you guys took chemistry, and I hope you learned in chemistry that mass is always conserved. Did you guys learn that in chemistry? You never lose mass. You always should be able to follow where the mass goes. And so in my lectures, you should always be able to follow where the mass goes. There's no disappearing mass. You can always account for it. In the next part of our drama, we go into the mitochondria, and inside the mitochondria, two metabolic pathways occur, the Krebs cycle, electron transport, and oxidative phosphorylation. And the carbon that's processed there, well, the pyruvate, which is now a three-carbon molecule, is converted into three carbon dioxides, and each carbon dioxide has one carbon. And because this whole process that I've just described is done twice, because remember, the glucose, which was originally a six-carbon molecule, is made, you make two pyruvic acids, so you have to send that pyruvic acid through twice, and you'll see that as we go through. Okay, next slide, Act 1, glycolysis. Curtain opens, and let's just break down the word. Glyco means glucose. That makes sense. Anybody remember what the word lysis means? What is the word lice? What is lice? Yeah. It doesn't mean solution. Lice doesn't mean solution. Yeah. To break apart or to split. You should know that word, because that word's going to come up again and again in this course. The word lice means to split. So glycolysis means simply to split glucose. So glucose enters the cytoplasm, right? Insulin lets it into the cell. And then glycolysis occurs in the cytoplasm. And real simple, one glucose molecule is split. Imagine a samurai with a big sword, basically comes up to a glucose molecule and chops it in half. So you have a six-carbon molecule that's now two three-carbon molecules. And these three-carbon molecules are called pyruvate or pyruvic acid. To do this requires 10 steps. It doesn't happen in one step. You do not need to know the details of, you know, these steps. We can think of it in two phases. There's an energy investment phase, and there's an energy payoff phase. And the energy payoff phase, you go through twice, as you'll see. So the next slide shows you the energy investment phase. And what I've done is on the bottom of this slide, you'll actually see the different molecules. You do not need to memorize these, okay? I'm showing you this for completeness, but you don't need to memorize them. What I do want you to be aware of, though, is you start with glucose on the left. It's a six-carbon molecule. And then you end up on the right with two three-carbon molecules. One at the top is called dihydroxyacetone phosphate, and the one below it is glyceraldehyde phosphate. The colors on our LCD aren't good today, but if you go on my website and you look at this lecture, you'll see that I've actually colored all the phosphates red, so you can follow the phosphates. And if you actually look at glucose 6-phosphate, the 6, it doesn't mean that glucose has 6 phosphates. You can see that it doesn't. It only has 1 phosphate. But what you can see is that the 6 refers to which carbon the phosphate is on. It's on carbon 6. Remember, we always number carbons in a carbohydrate, and in this case, the phosphate is on carbon 6. What you will notice in this reaction, and this may disturb some of you, that ATP is used twice. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to be making ATP. Yes, we are, and we will. But in order to get the reaction going, you got to kind of kickstart it. You need to add a little bit of energy in to get it going. And that's what you see here. Okay? What you end up with is, like I said, at the end, is these two, three carbon molecules. And it's the glyceraldehyde phosphate, which goes into the next phase, the energy payoff phase. And then the dihydroxyacetone phosphate, the other three carbon, is converted then into glyceraldehyde phosphate, and it is shuttled into that same thing. So it's the glyceraldehyde phosphate that is shuttled into the next part. So let's look at the payoff phase. In the payoff phase, what you get is another set of reactions. What I want you to notice, however, is that you get an NAD plus becoming an NADH. Haven't said anything about NADH yet. NADH is an energy-rich molecule, and we're going to talk about what happens to that molecule later in Act 3 of our drama, so stay tuned for that. You'll also notice that ATP is created twice in this phase. Now remember, because a 3-carbon molecule is fed into this and goes through the whole process. And because glucose was a six-carbon molecule, we have to go through this phase twice. So if you actually think about it, we end up making two NADHs, and if you add up all the ATPs, you end up making four ATPs. Does that make sense to you guys? You see this, okay? Yeah. Well, remember, in the previous phase, the energy investment phase, it required two ATPs. But that was for, we started with a glucose molecule, which was six carbons long. But we ended that phase with two three-carbon molecules. So we have to feed each of those three-carbon molecules through this phase, which is why this phase, we double everything. Because we're going through this phase twice. Because we have two, now we have two three-carbon molecules, right? So then if we do our net ATP, we started with one glucose, which is six carbon. We have two final molecules, two pyruvates, which are three carbons. And we invested two ATPs to begin with. We got two ATPs, but we had to do that twice, so we ended up with four ATPs, which netted us two ATPs for the whole process. Does that make sense to you guys? The net, when we net out all the ATPs for glycolysis, we ended up with gaining two ATPs. Now, if we do the total energy conversion at the end of glycolysis, let's look at the total energy. We get two ATPs like I just showed you. We get NADH, but we have to multiply that by two because we have to do the energy and payoff phase twice, so we get two NADHs, and then we end up with two pyruvates. So here we are. We're at the end of glycolysis. Where's all the energy? It's in these three things: two ATP, two NADHs, two pyruvates. Now, some of you are a little bit disturbed. You're a little bit bothered. You're like, wait a minute, Mr. Hammack. You made a big deal to me just a few minutes ago that this whole thing is about converting glucose into ATP, and all you're giving me at the end of glycolysis is two lousy ATP. You know, what's going on here? Well, what is going on? What's going on? Anybody have any ideas? Yeah. We're setting up for later. Exactly. There's still two more acts that we need to look at: the Krebs cycle, electron transport, and oxidative phosphorylation. So what I'll tell you now is stay tuned. And you're going to see a lot of ATPs coming down the pike, but not today. Okay?